Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Barb Gretsch, your host for today, and I'm speaking with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher and author of Critical Issues Commentary. In this current series, we have been reviewing a book by John Mark Comer entitled Practicing the Way. In this book, Comer promotes the idea of being an apprentice of Jesus. He does talk about how the Bible uses the word disciple, but Comer makes the claim that disciple is only a noun, not a verb. We're going to get into that discussion. And we're also going to see that Comer's claims do not fit the Great Commission, as is found in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Bob DeWay has written an article about the Great Commission that might be really helpful for your review. That's CIC issue 142. It's entitled The Great Commission in Matthew, Understanding Authorial Intent. So, Bob, let's talk more about a disciple. What is the definition?
Well, we have here with John Mark Comer a definition that he likes that's less offensive to him or whatever. And he has some serious problems with it. He wants to use the word apprentice rather than disciple. And here's what he says about that word apprentice on page 11. This is such, it's emphasized, a helpful word. It conjures up a mode of education that is intentional, embodied, relational, and practice-based, a type of learning that is totally different than what I grew up with. Jesus's mode of apprenticeship was a far cry from our Western educational system. So let's stop there. Again, it's very clear what his enemy is: Western civilization and rational thinking and defining categories rationally, learning things that way, what something is and what it is not. Whereas the East, in his way of using it, is more experiential or relational. You're feeling things, you're learning practices that create a state of mind or a state of being, and so forth. Now, this is, as we said, this is not new. He didn't come up with some unique thing. He learned it from Dallas Willard, a mystic in his own right. And it's not uncommon for liberalism to attack Western rationality. I pointed that out in my book entitled Undefining Christianity, Understanding the Emergent Church. Emergent, they dropped the term, but it's really the progressive church now. Okay, progressivism. So therefore, there's another version of that. Notice it's intentional, it's embodied. So embodied means you're an apprentice of a person that you're there with, watching, relating to, walking with, learning from. And as we've said over and over, here's the problem. Jesus went to heaven, embodied. He was raised bodily from the grave. He appeared to witnesses. He ascended to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God in all authority on heaven and earth. The disciples are given a commission because he has the authority to give it. And he says, go therefore, Matthew 28:19, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So there's so much to say here. So you cannot do what he says. Now, you might say, well, I'm purposely making him look bad by stating more than what he's stating. No, I'm not. This is what he's stating. Let me read it on page 11, continuing on. A little further down that paragraph, to follow Jesus then meant to walk alongside him, the posture of listening, learning, observation, obedience, and imitation. So, yes, that was true of the apostles who did walk alongside him. And there are things we learn from that. But that's not us. Does any, did
No,
you?
in fact, you and I were talking about in 1 Peter 1, verse 8, it says about Jesus Christ, whom, although you have not seen, you love, in whom you now believe, although you do not see him, and you rejoice greatly with joy and inexpressible and full of glory. But it says there, you don't see him, you haven't seen him.
Right. So we're being an apprentice of someone that the Bible acknowledges we don't see, we haven't seen. And so we have to walk by faith. We
And
believe.
that was said by Peter, who was one of the eyewitnesses, who was an apostle disciple.
Yes, that's a very good reading. Absolutely. Great reading. We don't see him, but we believe him. So if you are fully versed and been well trained in scripture, and because the elders in Ephesus were taught by Paul to teach the whole counsel of God like he did, and to refute those who contradict, and people who are warned about people ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth, and people twisting scriptures. If you know these things we're talking about, you're going to pick up Comer's book and what in the world is this guy talking about? What about this and what about that? You'll have, like us, you'll have all kinds of questions. There's too many things left out. There's too many things that don't make any sense. And some people contacted me, that's why we're doing this, and said that's the response they had. But a lot of people in the church, well, I like this. This is new. This is interesting. Why are some people thinking it's good and following it, and others are just finding confusion? Well, because some people know the Bible and study the Bible and believe in ethereal intent, and other people are going to church, religious consumers. They don't know that about it.
What do you mean by ethereal intent?
In any written document, the author determines the meaning. That is essential to just read. That's what we wrote about in this article on the Great Commission. The subtitled Understanding, I think let's look at the Great Commission of Matthew, Understand Authorial Intent. I had a great teacher at seminary. I was there at the right time by God's grace. Bob Stein, he was the teacher, and he wrote a book about this. You read it, didn't you, Barb?
Yes, I did. Fantastic.
So I was in the class. I had the whole class. We had to read E.D. Hirsch, who wrote a technical book about authorial intent called Validity and Interpretation. I had to read that. It's very technical, but it was very, I'm glad I had to read it. But Dr. Stein wrote his own book that anyone could read, which wouldn't have so many footnotes and everything. And it gives the idea. But the fact is, if you write something to someone else, anyone, you have an intent, what you want to communicate to that person. And if you sent that letter to whoever it was, and they got a totally different idea than what you meant, you wouldn't be very happy. Call them up and say, that's not what I meant. It was obvious. I said, I'm going to plan on being at your place for Christmas. And you read it and thought, well, I think maybe you'd be happier at grandma's. So I'm going to take that as the meaning. That's not valid communication.
No.
So, and Stein in his book, what is it called? Following the Rules? I think it is. But whatever, Robert Stein wrote a book on hermeneutics that has to do with authorial intent. Playing by the rules, I think that's what he called it. That's just the way language works. And so people take the Bible because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, they assume it has some different rules, as if it wasn't really the type of communication that other written medium has. But it's not true. It's written using human languages. The author determines the meaning. And so, by that standard, we're reading Matthew, like my teacher, Dr. Versiput, was doing when that student objected, I mentioned last week. What did the author say? And can we understand his intent? Now, he's saying, well, we need to have this walking by Jesus and observing, but we can't see him. You just pointed that out from Peter. We don't see Jesus. So we have to go by what's written. And the meaning of what's written is determined by the author. So that's what we want to do. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, in this page 11 of his book, he says disciples are a noun, not a verb. Well, I looked that up, and here in Matthew 28:19, at a very key place, make disciples, go therefore, make disciples, is matheteo. It is make disciples, aorist active imperative. It's a verb, and he's saying that in a very demonstrative way, in an imperative. Go, imperative, make disciples, imperative. That's the Greek. So it is a verb, it isn't just a noun. Granted, he's right, it's as a noun used 72 times in Matthew. But this is the key. There's a verb when we get down to the most salient thing, the commission of the disciples. And he doesn't say, go make apprentices.
Right.
Okay, in English, they're not the same.
And we have to go with Matthew's definition since he's the writer.
Yes, and so in the article, we spent a lot of time showing from Matthew who's a disciple. Now, the idea is to refute the dominionists who are claiming that geopolitical entities are the disciples. So you're going to Christianize nations. So if you get Christians in power and we have sort of a Christianized society, that's obeying the Great Commission. Well, I wrote this article to totally refute that idea. It says baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'd baptize a believer, not a geopolitical entity. Now, there are some people that try to do that because they'd conquer with the sword and force everyone to become Christian or die. And they were very open-minded. They'd say, you're going to be baptized, that's for sure, but you have a choice. It can be either in your own blood or in water. So most people chose in water and they became Christian at this point of a sword. So that's wrong. That's not what he meant. All of the different ethnicities in the world, there will be disciples from them. That's the point. Don't restrict the going and the making disciples simply to the Jews or some other ethnicity. It's for all nations. This goes all the way back to the promise to Abram in Genesis 12. Now, so we do have a verb, and it is imperative, and go is imperative, and a disciple has been previously defined earlier, and I think I want to reference Matthew 7, 24 through 27 here, because this is very, very important. Matthew 7, 24. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Now, here's these words of mine and acts on them. Now, that's cognitive. It's conceptual. It's learning from teachings from a teacher. This is the very Western mode that Comer doesn't like. He wants the touchy-feely version. But we haven't seen him. But we know what he taught and what he said. His very words were given to us by his disciples who went and taught. That'll be in verse 20, teaching them to observe. Okay? So a disciple is someone who believes in Jesus, who trusts in him, and believes who he is, that he is the one sent by the Father, and so forth, and takes action based on knowing that he speaks the very words of God. In John, when all these people left, in John 6, they didn't like his teaching. Jesus asked the disciples, are you leaving too? No, where can we go? Only you have the words of life, the uniqueness of Christ. So we need to look at this in context. Here's these words of mine and acts on them. That's not the same as standing by him and watching a plumber figure out how to get loose the cinched down iron pipe and how long of a monkey wrench you need. And I have to guard against the other pipe on the other side moving while you're doing it. So you need two monkey wrenches and you got to find space for it. There's all kinds of things that you have to see, but that's not what this is about. So how do you build on the rock? Well, let's look at the alternative. Matthew 7, 26 and 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine, does not act on them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, it fell. Great was its fall. Doesn't that sound like Western thinking, hearing words and acting on them?
Yes.
So I think we're being sold a bill of goods by this John Mark Comer.
He says, Comer says at the bottom of that page that you're talking about, for Jesus's first apprentices, the goal wasn't to pass a test, get a degree, or receive a certificate to frame on your office wall. It was to master the art of living in God's good world by learning from Jesus how to make steady progress into the kingdom of God.
Okay. Oh, here we go again. Reminds me of 20 years, 20, 25, 30 years ago, Brian McLaren, Rob Bell, the emergent people I wrote about. We're going to make progress in the kingdom of God. We just did a series, didn't we?
We did.
And that series is on Colossians 1, 13 and 14. And there it says that we're transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. So,
yeah, there's no steady progress there.
Right.
That was, Bob did an excellent exegesis of Colossians 1, 13 and 14 in CIC issue 131. It's called Rescued, Transferred, Redeemed, and Forgiven. And it shows how there's no steady progress. It's a rescue by Jesus Christ.
The rescue mission to transfer people that were under the domain of darkness, in bondage to the powers of darkness, without God, hostile in mind, serving other gods, confronted by the gospel, redeemed. We talked about that in that series. And rescued, redeemed, transferred, and forgiven. That's something God does. Not this slow, steady progress of watching and learning how to make progress in the kingdom. And literally, many people have a progressive kingdom. That's why I call emergent now progressive. And it's not that different from liberalism that you have in general, trying to make the world a better place by some sort of intervention by government or education. So, not a certificate to put on the wall. Well, we're not claiming that certificates on the wall are proof of discipleship, but building on the rock is. And Jesus defines that. And the Sermon on the Mount, we do believe, is binding on Christians. If you take it in context and understand the intent, then we don't live for what's in this world. See, some people will try to tell us that we're a bunch of hypocrites. I've had this happen more than once. You're a bunch of hypocrites if you own two coats. Because there's a passage about that in there.
Right.
Well, it's clear that the point is, don't live for the things in this world and store up more treasures on earth thinking that's going to give you a kingdom in the long run. But they say, well, you can live in the Arctic Circle, but you only get one coat. So it's just silly. They're just trying to make us think we can't really believe and obey Christ because it's not doable.
Well, Jesus has commanded us to come to him on his terms, and he's the mediator of the new covenant, and he sets the terms that dictate how we come to him. And finding that it's very different from what the apprenticeship idea is.
Yes, we come to him on his terms, and those he receives into a relationship with himself, and it's at a point in time. It's not some slow, steady progress.
Right.
We do progress by means of grace, which is something we'll see later. Comer mentions he knows what they are, but he doesn't think it's that important. He has a suppose a better idea, spiritual disciplines. And as we run out of time here, just know this, and we'll talk about this more. Spiritual disciplines are not biblical. They're man-made alternatives to growing in grace. But grace alone, faith alone, things like that. Spiritual disciplines are man-made practices that they, by experimentation, think they've proven they made them more holy or whatever they want. That's not valid. But we're out of time for this now, so I'll let you do the out.
Okay. We want to remind you that you can access this program and many others, as well as years' worth of articles, at the website cicministry.org. And we want to remind all of you, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel. This has been Barb Gretsch for Critical Issues Commentary, and I'm with
Bob DeWay.
And we'll see you soon.